Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, and in the house, and I mean in the house, J.E. Venata.
Glad to be here.
And man, questions all about hummingbird and this new graph, love mine, but I don't want to brag about it. I let you brag about it.
Well, see, I get paid to brag about it. It's better if you do it, all right? Because you're a consumer and a customer. You know what we tell people? When I complain about a feature or something I want to add to it,
right?
9 times out of 10, it falls on deaf ears. But when a customer calls and complains about it, then they start to listen.
I don't have very many complaints.
Well, that's good. But features.
I need it. I did make a mistake, though. I'll admit it right now. I only got one of them, and I should have got two of them.
We can probably solve that problem.
That's my problem.
We can probably solve that.
But problem. I was like, how, like, I look at units, and I'm like, how's it going to work? Mm-hmm. What's the features? How am I going to benefit from it? Is it just another unit? Well, I've fallen in love with the mapping. If you've seen a lot of my posts have all been about the mapping, but the sonar, that's following. But, you know, it's crazy how you have a one boat network.
Yes.
And so tell us about the unit first, and then we'll let you tell about the one boat network.
Well, you mentioned something, and, you know, we'll talk about one boat network, the Explorers, and of course our Apex and MegaLive 2 and all of that stuff, and all the forward-facing stuff that's been going on for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
If you talk to the guys that are serious fishermen, guides, tournament guys, they'll still tell you probably the biggest impact prior to forward-facing was charts and charting. So learning where to go, when to go, and what type of structure you're looking at. That with the addition of Explore products, MegaLive 2, Mega 360 still, which has been around for a long time, they're all tools. And when someone calls me and says, look, I want to rig a boat, I want to put a product on it, what do I need? I always ask two questions right off the bat. What do you fish for? And what kind of boat do you have?
Okay.
Because they're tools, just like anything else. The example I use, I may have said it before in yours, my grandfather was a cabinet shop, owned a cabinet shop. My father was a commercial contractor. They both swung hammers, but different hammers, different tools for different jobs. So depending on how you're fishing, where you're fishing, what you're fishing for, you need to select the product that's going to function the best for you in that application. Explorer is our newest product. I am a big fan, and I'll tell you, it replaced the Helix product line, except for fives and sevens. Full touchscreen all the way across the board, but it kind of solidified our product offerings. So if you've got a kayak or a smaller boat and you want a 5 or 7 inch screen, we still have a product for that in the Helix line.
Right.
If you're going to go anything larger than that, depending on the real estate on your boat, how much room you've got, you now have a system from Explorer to the Apex, which functions the same way, same menu system, same compatibility between the units. Everything shares between all of them. So if you want to go larger screen, you've got the option for that. Smaller screen, you got the option for that. And one of the best things about the Explorer when it came out, price is the same as Helix was in the past. So it's a great price point product for the guys too. You can get into a high performance unit with touchscreen, all the full features, for a very affordable price in today's market.
Did the processor step up with the Explorer?
Processors, yes. Uh-huh. A couple things about
faster.
The faster processor. The screen is a 1280. It's one of the best screens we've got. My favorite unit right now, bar none, is the 12-inch unit and the Explorer.
Right.
I even normally put a bigger unit on the bow of my boat. This year, I'm running a 12-inch Explorer in the front of the boat. It's just the best-looking screen, in my opinion, we've got in the market right now. Fast processor, fast on mapping, very easy to install. All the connections are the same as the product we had before, Solix, which is also gone, except for the power cord. So if you got a boat that's got Solix on it now, you want to upgrade to Explorer or an Apex, the only thing you have to change at is the power cord, and that's it.
Wow,
so we have consistency across the board now we didn't have before.
And talk about the One Boat Network system then.
You know, we started that several years ago with One Boat Network, where from Raptors to Talons to trolling motors to your depth finders, you can network everything together and operate your trolling motor from the console, the Raptors or Talons from the console or the bow. You can deploy Raptors or Talons from the front of the boat or back of the boat, retract them if you're going back to make a run. Everything's through the system itself, so everything communicates now. One thing we did come out with about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was a new 5-port switch. The old one had some issues for me because we didn't have a power light on it. I couldn't tell if I had power to it. The new one, actually, each bank has a light that tells you if it's communicating yeah. and what speed is communicating. So you can narrow down what product that's connected to and make sure the network's up and going good. Everything's got an IP address and we're working. So.
And it has an app. I mean, you have an app, and that app allows you to do some stuff.
One Boat Network app on your phone, your cell phone.
Right.
You can actually do your software downloads. You can check and see what current versions you have on the units. If you have an issue on the water, we've got a callback feature where you can call customer service or have them give you a call if there's something you're having some trouble with or not uh-huh. sure how to set something up.
Right.
And again, you can communicate through your phone if you want to deploy those Raptors or deploy the Talons or run the trolling motor through also. Okay,
let's talk about some of the features that this has. So mine came with the mapping. So it was built in. And there's options when you buy this, but not very many options, right? When you buy it, either you buy it with a mapping card or you don't.
All the Explorer and next year, the Apex will come with the charts in them also. Now, I want to clarify one thing. We say built in. They're not built into the unit. There's a chip in the top slot of the card. Okay. Or a top slot of the SD card reader. No, we still say built in online.
Right.
But it's not like the old Navionics value bundle we had before, where it was built into the unit. We don't do that because you can't upgrade them. You can't change them at that point in time.
Right.
So, yeah, if you have an Explorer unit, and next year the Apex unit will come with that chart in it also. It's the standard Lake Master VX. It's not the premium. So if there's some features, if you want some certain overlays or contour or something such as that, you may have to go to a VX premium, again, depending on how you fish.
Right.
But inside that unit is the continental United States, the coastal United States, and Canadian charts also comes with the unit.
Can I put you on the spot? Sure. Retail for one with the mapping in it?
Depends on the size. You're from $1,500 up to $2,500. Just put ballpark numbers, yeah.
Yeah. So that's right in that price range of all the other units that are in there.
If you look at the old Helix pricing from last year, it's the same.
Wow. Yeah. And this is a lot. I can say it because I'm not in Boy Bomb, but this unit right here is pretty, like, it was a step up. It's better than what I even anticipated. Mm-hmm. And the shading, so you have a toolbar that runs across the top. And if you don't want a toolbar, you can hide the toolbar.
Correct.
But on top of that toolbar, there's a place when you have the chart or the mapping screen open, and there's a place where you can touch, and then you have five different color palettes.
You can adjust the layers of what you're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the advantages, we're the first ones to start shading charts before. We had three. You had shallow water, which is red, and then the depth range you could change in green, and then the standard palette for the chart itself. You have four now on the VX Lake Master VX charts available for you.
Just crazy how easy it is.
It makes the lake, and I tell people, it makes the lake so much smaller. If you figure out a pattern, you're here on Beaver Lake, and you're catching stripers out there, like say over 30 foot of water or humps over 30 foot of water, you can shade those specific areas, specific depths, and makes the lake a whole lot smaller.
Yep.
I was lucky enough to spend some time on Table Rock with our guys that chart the lakes, surveyed the lakes.
Right.
And I learned two things. Number one is I had driven past a lot of good spots.
Right.
Not taking the time to sonar those myself. With the lake charts now that we have, the Lake Master charts, I don't have to be on the water. I could do it at home. I've got the One Boat Network app on my iPad, which I use a lot for map study at home.
Uh-huh.
And I can narrow down, again, the regions of the lake based on species, bass, white bass, walleye. Stripers you're looking for, and it'd just be more time efficient on the water with it.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So you can hook up the Explorer units. Mm-hmm. There's the back side of it. Of course, if you're on the podcast show, they can't see it.
Correct.
But it has how many ports, and what do the ports do?
Actually, if you start from the left, this is always going to be our power. We're here on the left-hand side. It's looking from the back of the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Next side, you're going to have your communications, be it Ethernet or our NEMA network. And we're NEMA 2000 on these now. 0183, the old NEMA system, is not on these units now.
Right.
And the one at the far right is going to be your transducer.
All right.
So this unit does come with a compact transducer, side imaging, down imaging transducer, transom mount. You can do a bow mount, usually now through our trolling motors, built-in transducers on the trolling motors,
right,
which will plug right into the back of the unit.
And so we're looking at the unit itself, and when you turn it on, it says confirm. I'm like, oh, really? I was starting to worry when I first saw it, and I turned it on. I was like, well, is this unit going to be smarter than what I am?
I don't think that's a problem. When you turn it on, you're going to come up. You can, and if you're connected to a transducer or a GPS antenna, it's going to go into our normal mode.
Right.
If you turn it on, not connected to a transducer, it's our simulation mode we use for training.
Right.
Some of the features with the new units now, so once they're up and running, and if you've got multiple units networked in the boat, One Boat Network, I can change the brightness of the screen on all the units from one source.
Right.
So early in the morning, you're taking off, you know, they're bright and your eyes shining. I have the console, right. I can dim all of them. One of the things I like the most is if I'm out, we were talking earlier about some swim baits, I think, something out here in the
right.
lake, weren't we?
Yeah.
And the gentleman said, you got to turn the radar off or the microwave,
microwave off.
I could put all the units in standby from one unit.
Right.
Or at the end of the day, I could hit one button on one of the units and turn all of them off from one location. So the only thing we can't do right now is turn them all on, but that's probably going to happen one of these days.
It will. So you're hoping us out on that. But home, on the home screen. Mm-hmm. So the home screen is just like the home screen on most units when you turn this on, but it's a touch unit. I don't know if you said it loud enough.
But, okay, yeah. All of our units now, except for the Helix, are all touchscreen
yeah.
units.
Yeah, so once you're there, it pretty much is kind of like, to me, like more like an iPhone type thing where it's very easy. You're just touching screen, it goes to that. Touching screen, it goes to that. And it really, the application of how to use it has been, do I say dumbed down? But you've made it easier.
It's easier unless you're an old Helix user.
Oh, okay.
And then the transition is still the same information there, just a different way to get into it. The only thing we have right now, which I'm asking our engineers to kind of review and evaluate,
yeah,
is the home button you mentioned.
Right.
If you look on the Explorer, where's it located?
It's right. It should be right here.
If you look on the Apex, it's down here. So I still catch myself reaching for the wrong button at times. Okay. That old muscle memory kicks in. One of the things I do like about ours, though, and I was not a touchscreen fan years ago.
Right.
We had another product. That was our first touchscreen. I had that in Helix on my boat. And the engineers, we were working on 2D sonar, trying to get it better. Back in the old right. days, we vertical fished a lot on Table Rock.
Yeah.
Had the engineer on the boat with me with the Helix here and the other brand over here, the other model. And I reached up, started poking the screen on the Helix. The engineer, knowing Justin that I was not a touchscreen fan, said, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Helix was touchscreen? Well, now that product evolved into this right here.
Right.
I'm a touchscreen fan now. The only thing I don't like, Brad, is fingerprints on my screen.
Right.
So any imaging screen, I keep a rag and Windex in my boat with me to clean those little fingerprints off. You know, I don't like to see those on the imaging screens.
But you wouldn't have to if you use these three memory spots right here. Tell them about that. See, the very bottom three keys.
One Boat Network keys, we call them now. So uh-huh. you can program those for really any of the features you want. The thing that you kind of alluded to, though, what we still have is what we call our cross-touch. So right. I can do everything on this unit right here with my phone while I'm driving down the lake. If I'm on Stockton Lake and 3 or 4 footers, it's kind of hard to hit a screen and go like
exactly.
this. I can do everything right here with my thumb and the cross touch over here. All the functions will operate from this feature right here.
Yep.
So the One Boat Network buttons are like our old presets, the little white spots we had on the old Helix product. It's the same uh-huh. thing, same functionality as that, but you can program it for what you want them to do.
Oh, that's so nice right there. That makes it easy. So I got mine. Got a Minn Kota trolling motor, and I got the 2D sonar, I believe, is what I ended up with the sonar.
The DSC motor, right?
Yep. So you get that, and you're, you know, before you're like, how am I going to connect one into the other? And you've made it simple, haven't you?
We have. Coming off the motor now, you can go straight into these units off the motor itself. If you had one of the older products, yeah. we had an adapter cable, which you had to go from the connection off the trolling motor to the back of the unit itself.
Right.
It's plug and play.
Plug and play.
Plug and play.
That's pretty good. So on this unit, Mega 2, how does Mega 2 connect to this in case someone wants to get the forward-facing technology?
Mega Live 2, our live version is still an Ethernet product. So we connect uh-huh. to the Ethernet port on the back of the unit or okay. to a 5-port switch on the boat if you're networked to other units.
Right.
And we work off of that.
So there's two yep. of these ports in the back?
You've got an Ethernet port back here uh-huh. and your NEMA port back here.
Okay.
Now, on Apex, we have 2 Ethernet ports, so you can daisy chain those into a network if you'd like to.
Uh-huh.
On the Explorer, we have 1 Ethernet port in the back of it.
All right. So if you get the Mega 2 and you hook it into this, mm-hmm. how do you hook a second unit onto this?
The 5-port switch.
Okay.
Right. You have to have a network box is what it actually is, a five-port switch. So anytime you've got more than two units, if we've got two units that we're going to network together, be it two Hummingbird products, Depth Finders, or a Mega Live, then those have to go to the back of the one plug right here. So I can go from my Explorer 12 here to the Explorer 9 here with one cable, one Ethernet cable.
Okay.
If I put that third component in, I've got to have a junction box that allows me to network them all together. And that's what the five-port switch does.
And the five-port switch, is it a powered? Is it powered? Does it have to have power?
It's powered. It's a 12-volt hookup. I hook mine to the accessory bus on my boat. That way, when I turn it down, nothing's communicating or drawing power across it.
Right.
And again, with the new version we've got a couple years ago, we brought out with kind of an opaque case on it. Six lights on it now, one for power and five for each circuits that are on the switch itself.
So you have to have that?
Yes, sir.
If you have more
than two components.
Right. Yes. And tell us again, what units, which one do you have to step up to not use the port? The Solex or the Apex?
On Apex, we have two Ethernet ports in the back of it. And the reason for that is guys run a Mega Live in the front of the boat and two units. You can daisy chain. So you could take the Mega Live to an Apex, daisy chain the Apex to an Explorer, or another an Apex, then to a five-port switch. It eliminates the some of the difficulty in rigging multiple units.
All right. What's your favorite feature on this unit right here, the Explorer? What's your favorite?
That's awful hard, but not necessarily just... One thing about the Explorer is I'm a waypoint junkie, okay? We put 10,000 waypoints on this unit. On the functionality of the unit, which is the same, again, across the line of all their products now, is our ability to go to multiple screens and customize screens.
Right.
We got some favorites set up for you, but I do, well, this weekend, like the Ozarks, I'll do a side imaging screen across the top, a down imaging screen, a 2D screen on the lower part of the panes. And if I want to see full side imaging, a two-finger press in that pane pulls that window up. I can go back to a two-finger press to collapse it and go back to the standard view that I had set up before. Instead of going the favorites button or making one or two prompts, I can do it right here with two fingers. That and the screen and processor of this unit, are just it's just amazing.
All right. Well, there you go. There you have it. That's everything you need to know.
And put it on the water.
There you go. Put it on the water. Go fishing. I actually made... and I have more YouTube videos that show this unit with the different views that are on there. And so you can go and look at that. That'll give you some actual real on the water stuff that wasn't done by their experts, but done by this expert. So
all of the training that I do in the PowerPoint presentation are screen captures off of my units.
There you go.
You know, computer generated.
Oh, you're an expert, though.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm a user, but
User. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a full line of hard and soft bait. So anything you're trying to catch that you see on the unit, and this I just have been using just 2D on this unit. You can find them at picolures.com. Like I said, anything you want to catch, bass, crappie, walleye. Once you find them, you just got to throw a pico at them. The other one is B&M Pulse. B&M Pulse, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. Everything you want to catch from catfish to trout to brim to, crappie. They got crappie poles, all kinds of crappie poles. You got two brand new crappie poles, the 18 and 20 foot BGJPs, which are getting to be pretty hot with people that are spider rigging. So you can check them out at bnmpole.com. One more thing we have to talk about. They, when you're looking at 2D sonar, there is a function that says max, and there's max mode,
max
and
mode,
there's clear mode. So explain that.
Well, in any sonar, and again, in seminars, I explain this to people. When you talk about sensitivity, you think you increase sensitivity, you're not increasing how much power you're putting out on the unit. When you decrease, you're filtering out some of that signals coming back.
Right.
Max mode, everything that comes back is going to be on the screen. You can adjust the screen by sensitivity to bring some of that down if you want to. Clear mode filters some of that noise out of the background or some of that fall in the water, such as that. Automatically with the unit itself. So I can run a clear mode with a higher sensitivity setting, get better fish arches or fish marks, than a max mode. And you know, time of year when we get the pollen in the water, how it gets so hazy, you can clean that screen up quite a bit. So max mode is pure sonar coming back. the clear mode is filtering out some of that background information.
Okay. And I've been using the max mode more when I'm dropping a spoon so I can see the spoon going down better and easier. So make sure you keep that in mind. If they want to find out more about Hummingbird products, where would they go?
Hummingbird.com.
Oh, you made it easy.
You got it.
Anyway, we're going to end the show like we always end the show. Make sure you keep your hook sharp. Your lure's in the water.